Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. And I am your host, Michelle Berard, founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor. And I'm so happy to share this hour with you where we can examine all those places where spirit meets life and, of course, all the joys and the challenges that can bring. So those of you who have been listening to us for the last few shows, and I thank you all for listening, and I welcome new listeners. Thank you very much also. Those of you who've been listening, though, already know that somewhere in the middle is intended to be a safe place where we can learn and we can grow together. We discuss a variety of topics ranging from love to politics to money to business and beyond, and that is because the human experience is wide and it is varied. And we want to encompass all of that. Now, I know you guys have a lot to share with us as well, so we're not just going to babble at you for the next hour or so. You guys know that. I like to hear from you. So we want you to participate. This is a participatory experience, just like life. I want to hear from you. So as you're listening to our guests, I want you to get your questions and your comments ready, because in the second half of the show, we will be taking calls from you guys. And as always, I want to start out by thanking Ms. Beverly Black and Tribe Family Channel for helping me to create the space for us. Tribe Family Channel is home to a family of thoughtful and provocative shows exploring life, spirit, business, and culture, including The Woman at the Well, hosted by Ms. Beverly Black herself. So I also want to give a shout-out to my last guest, Beverly Holloway, founder and CEO of Inspirational Life and Wellness, LLC, and the Sacred Sisters Inspirational Life Network. Now, if you guys haven't heard of it, I encourage you to please look Beverly up. You can find her on the Facebook, on the Instagram, and so forth and so on. She is living her mission to inspire as many people as she possibly can toward discovering their divine purpose. And since Beverly was the last guest on my show, make sure you listen to the replay if you didn't get to hear that. It will definitely be worth a listen. You can get to the replays of the shows by visiting Tribe Family Channel online and checking out the show recordings. So for that one, you're going to look for the July 21st show, and you'll get to hear all that great information that Beverly shared with us. I also want to give a shout-out to Bruce George of the Genius is Common Movement, which encourages all of us to embrace our inner genius and share it with the world. You guys know how important it is for us to share that message, especially with our youth. I want you to go right now, well, not right this minute, but right after the show, and look up the Genius is Common movement at www.geniusiscommon.com. Now, if you listened to the last show, you heard me announce that my next guest would be Doralyn Laporte, spiritual advisor. We did have a schedule change, and Doralyn will be joining us. She's going to be on our next show, so definitely tune in for her next time. But I think you're going to be very, very, very happy to hear who our guest tonight will be. We are continuing the theme of transitions, of change, which we started talking about with that July 21st show. In fact, we're going to keep talking about change and transition for a minute because, as they say, the only constant in life is change. And what's really unfortunate is that so many of us find change to be so challenging. And that's why I feel like we need to spend a little time on this topic. Now, you may also remember that I mentioned in the last show that I have been in the midst of a lot of big changes. And the biggest of those has been a move. And I'm not talking about a move across town, guys. I moved completely across the country, East Coast to West Coast. What? I got to drive a 22-foot diesel moving truck loaded to the doors with the majority of our belongings across this amazingly beautiful country of ours, and it was, to say the very least, life-changing, absolutely life-changing. So tonight, we are going to continue with the theme of change, and I have a powerful and delightful guest, and I'm so pleased to have her on the show to share with you this evening. Janelle Navarro-Sunier is a transformational life coach. Janelle's coaching style is direct, it is bold, and it is full of compassion. Her vision is to influence women who deal with anxiety, depression, and weight management so that they can explore their consciousness to achieve optimal health on a mental, physical, and spiritual level. And these issues can be related to living for other people or choosing other people over themselves. And when you learn to just choose yourself, just choose you, these issues can be managed, if not alleviated. Now, Janelle coaches using a model of peace, P-E-A-C-E, where pertinent questions are asked, evaluations are done, acknowledgments of changes that need to be made take place, creation of an action plan takes place, and engaging that action plan, which is the last step. Through casual conversations, her clients walk away with an understanding that they are the only ones that control their peace. And that is such a vital, important thing for us to understand, particularly as women. So, everybody, let's welcome Janelle Sunier to Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Barad. Welcome, Janelle, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
You are more than welcome. You are more than welcome. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. Loved it. And that is just a true statement. You are the only one that controls your peace, and that is what Just Choose You is about.
Well, I think that's awesome, and I am so excited to have you on the show because, the topic is change, and you are, a transformational life coach. And so you help women make significant changes for the better in their lives. And that's just about what we're all about here. So I like to start an interview with two questions. And the reason I start with these two questions is because I feel like they lead right into what you're doing and why. So, Janelle, who are you and how did you become who you are today?
I am a casual conversationalist who assists women that deal with depression and anxiety and weight management overcome those obstacles with tools that get them through the day, through life, through regular decisions. I am a woman who has been there and can empathize with just about every emotion and feeling that a woman can feel at any given point in her life, being low or high. I provide a safe space for women to explore their consciousness, to get through that time frame and find the right tools to find their peace and understand that they are the only ones that control that. And me going through things that I've gone through and making it to this point, I'm there to say, you can do it because I did it.
Okay. So then that leads me to the next question. So how did you become this person? How did you become a transitional coach? And well, what led you on this path?
This path started, honestly, from birth. I had no idea as to how to direct my energy of wanting to genuinely see people happy. It's always been my passion just to genuinely talk to people if you have a problem and see how we can work it out or see what the root cause is or just encourage someone to be better or do better or feel better. It's always been any circle that I'm in, I've always wanted my cipher to be happy. Not understanding that passion completely and not understanding myself completely led that to not knowing how to set boundaries, not trusting myself, not knowing how to say no, when to say no, which of course led to a very colorful life. the whole decision definitely would have been made differently had I had a better grasp on myself, had I had a better understanding of myself and my actions and my core of really wanting to make people happy. That energy went into trying to make relationships work. That energy went into basically, if you have a problem, oh, you know what? I am going to love you enough to make you want to fix that. So I had to learn how to redirect that need, redirect that passion of mine to help people. That's really all I wanted to do, was just help people. So those decisions and that colorful life that I led and not having that balance led me to a dark space. That dark space was suicidal. That dark space was just lost. That dark space was having no clue as to where it is that I should be going, where my life should be, what it is that I should be doing. That led me to counseling. And the counseling worked, and it led me to searching deeper. It wasn't necessarily, oh, I need to go to church. It wasn't necessarily, oh, I need to repent. Oh, it wasn't necessarily, oh, I need God in my life. I needed to understand me. And not to say that you don't need God. Please don't take that the wrong way at all. But even having God in your life, you need to know yourself. So wanting to dig deeper, that led me to a school called Southwest Institute of Healing Arts. It gave me an idea of what it is that it put a name to what I had been wanting to do. It gave me a name for what it is that I had been doing all my life and gave me a focus for it, and that was life coaching. That was getting your story out and telling your story that your story can help someone else. Talk to people and let them know what it is that you went through, and maybe you can let them see and show them that with these tools that you've learned yourself and see the progress that you've made yourself, help them get to where you are. So that's pretty much how all of that led to where I am now, being in that dark space and just having that passion and that yearning to want to help people and want to see people happy. Not knowing how to focus that and then learning how to is what led me to here. So it was a blessing to get to that pace. So it's kind of a double sword, but I wouldn't have changed any of the actions that led to that.
So, you know, the next question is, give me some examples of the kinds of things that you, you know, give me a scenario. What kind, what, when you were trying to love somebody enough to make them want to heal themselves, what did that look like?
That looked like 8 years in a relationship with someone dependent on a drug. That led to 8 years of a codependent relationship of me having that yearning of needing to feel needed and wanting to help someone, being in a very loving but yet tumultuous relationship. That another example would be jobs. My job history. I can work any job for a certain amount of time until it gets to the point where I'm not being fulfilled. Key point, I'm an excellent customer service representative for the first year and a half or so. Within that year and a half or so, I'm going to make it into management because that's something that I like. I do. I like to help people. So that relationship, bad choices in, I don't want to say bad choices, but not knowing what career path to take, so doing what it is that I needed to do to make the money, thinking that that's something that I could do would be another example. But the biggest one that made the biggest impact is understanding and walking away from that relationship and knowing that there was nothing that I could do unless that person wanted to make that change.
Mm.
That was the...
Yeah, that's really difficult.
That is, exactly. And my internal battle of wanting so badly to have that person happy, I suppressed any and everything that had to do with me. But that broke me so bad that I couldn't help that person because I was broken. And that was one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn, still learn, and go through, and still have to remind myself today. You cannot give from an empty vessel. No matter how much it is that you want to help someone, if you can't help yourself and realize when it is that you need to take a step back and do some cleansing and all of that, you can't help someone else. So
that's like they say on the airplane, put on your mask first if the masks come down, right?
Definitely, definitely. How if you're disabled, how are you going to help that person next to you? Definitely. So that relationship was the biggest, hardest, and most informational lesson I've had in my life. It opened up a lot, and it taught me a lot about myself. And I love that person to this day, and would hate for anything to happen to them.
Well, yeah, you can't be involved with somebody for 8 years and not have any caring for them at the end, unless it was really just horrific. Just, I mean, it sounds
horrific.
Like maybe there was a great deal of love there.
It was love, but it was horrific. People that know will look at me now and be like, that's only Janelle would still communicate with that person. Only?
Oh, wow.
Only Janelle would still have that person even on their mind like that, but that's just how I am. It's not even a matter of what you did. I chose to stay in that. That was my choice. I wasn't in the right position mentally to be making those types of decisions. But I made that choice to stay there. That's not his fault. I made that decision. I could have walked away. I could have left. There was plenty of opportunity for me to do so. I chose to stay. I can't put that off on him. I have to hold myself accountable for my part in that.
Well, that kind of ties into what we're talking about here, right? Because I would ask you, do you know why you chose to stay so long in such a difficult situation?
I do. I did not have that. I didn't know where to direct that energy of wanting to help someone. I was lost myself. I was depressed myself. That whole feeling of this person needs me, that's the only way that I feel good, that's not healthy. You have to learn how to direct that energy. That it's okay to want to help people, but you can't lose yourself and just submerge everything. You can't be lost trying to help someone else, because if you're weak and you can't make the right decisions and you don't have boundaries, anything is going to happen. You're not operating correctly. You're not operating balanced. So there's no way that you can help someone do that. So I stayed because I was not strong enough mentally to believe in myself. I wasn't choosing myself. I was choosing that person over me, thinking that I was helping that person when I was actually harming not only him but myself.
So is that something that you see is fairly common among women? I feel like that's something that women in particular are, I don't want to say are afflicted with. It's good that we want to help people and we want to take care of people, but is it fairly common for that to kind of go overboard? And if so, in what ways?
What happens is, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, we feel as if us suppressing our needs for not just our relationship, but anyone else, our families, our children, and that's not the case. It happens a lot with women because we have, as women, emotionally, we have that, I don't necessarily want to say nurturing, because anyone knows me, knows I'm not the most nurturing person at all, but women have that whole, you know, I'll say from my standpoint, it was a whole, if I love you hard enough, that'll go away. If I love you hard enough, that'll change. If I love you hard enough, you won't want to be like that. If I love you hard enough, we can fix this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what we have to realize is that we can never, ever, 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 ever allow ourselves to let someone else come before us. Once we learn how to set those boundaries and learn how to trust ourselves, we'll trust the decisions that we make. We'll trust ourselves when we say, okay, you know, I love you, but I can't allow you to keep hurting me trying to fix you. So I have to step away for self-preservation. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with me not loving you. But before I can love you, I got to love me. And right now, I can't love me doing this with you.
So what kinds of challenges are you finding that maybe some of your clients, what kinds of examples can you give us of the kinds of things that some of your clients may be going through that maybe the audience can relate to?
Find a lot. And a lot of the clients that I speak with, they have a hard time with one of the very first things that I say is detrimental to transition. You have to give yourself permission to forgive yourself for whatever it is that you are holding yourself, that you're holding against yourself, an action that you took that you did when you were 20 that you beat yourself up about in the shower, a decision you didn't make the day before that you feel like would have had a different result on your life. We have to learn how to look at those things, see what they are for what they are, and accept that and forgive yourself for whatever action that is so you can move past it. That's a big hurdle that a lot of women have an issue with because they feel like a lot of insecurities come from that. A lot of past situations, conversations, like I said, decisions that they feel an emotional attachment to, that they can think about and cry and make themselves feel bad about, or that they won't journal about because it makes them feel bad. Forgive yourself for that so you can move on and move past it, because that was at that certain time. That's not who you are right now. That's not something that shouldn't be. Look at that story and examine that story and see that story for what it is. Take away that emotional attachment to it and see it for what it is and understand what was going on and forgive yourself for whatever decision it is that you made. And now move past that.
So what if someone doesn't even recognize the that they have a need to forgive themselves? Because to me, that's kind of a woolly concept, you know what I mean? Like, how do you know when you need to forgive yourself for something? Is it that emotional attachment that gives the clue? And if so, what does that look like? How would somebody, if they're just sitting at home right now thinking about whatever situation may have come up, how would they know there's a forgiveness issue, a self-forgiveness issue?
What's making you hold on to that story? Why are you holding on to it, and why is it making you so emotional? Ask yourself those pertinent questions. Ask yourself questions that you're scared to ask. What really happened in that situation? Is that what that person meant, or is that what you took with that emotion? Was that person hurting themselves and they had no idea what they were saying or what they were doing and they were lashing out at you and that's what happened with that and you reacted to that? You were a different person from that. Are you blaming yourself because someone got hurt? Are you blaming yourself because your actions caused someone else's demise or someone else's disability or someone else's whatever the case may be? Are you that same person from that? What is it that you think about that gets you emotional about your actions? That's what you need to examine. That's what you need to think about. And if you're having something and if you're not understanding what's going on, you have something that you can sit quietly enough about. And if you think about it long enough, you're going to cry about it or it's going to make you feel some type of way. So whatever situation it is that you think about that weighs heavy on your mind about either one of your actions or something that you did or a relationship, visit that.
So are you finding that this is across the board, women of all races, ethnic groups, ages, that experience these kind of emotional attachments when there's something they need to work on in terms of forgiveness or what have you?
Any human being, man or woman. Any human being, man or woman. And I don't want to say that, hey, think about this, whatever, and whatever it is that you're going through, you're going to be cured. This method is not for everyone. This consciousness is not for everyone. Everyone doesn't believe in this. This is something that you have to, if it's something that you doubt, this is something that you have to probably slowly step into to explore. That's my whole intention of my platform and my company is Just Choose You. I provide that safe platform and I ask you those scary, pertinent questions that you probably have never asked yourself. I'll tell you one excellent, excellent, excellent book that I'll tell people that guides me and that makes me think about things totally different. And the name of the book is The Right Question, and it's by Betty Ford. And I'll just read a couple of the questions, and these are a couple of the chapters. The very first one, the moment of choice. even if it's something that you, I'll give you a situation here. If you are a young woman with a child who is father of your child, because you can't, he doesn't want to be in that relationship with you. This is something that happens a lot. That child is in the middle of that emotional battle that that mother is feeling, and that child is getting hurt from that, because she's emotionally tied to the decision that the father of that child is making. So if you take the time and hold yourself accountable for, hey, you know what, I can't be mad at the fact that he doesn't like me anymore. He just doesn't. That's his decision. I can't say you can't come see your daughter because you have a new girlfriend now. I don't want her around her. If that girl is not a child molester, I understand you have to get to know her and all of that, but are you really saying that you don't want her around that person because you feel that person is bad? Or is that out of some type of resentment? That's a very good example right there.
Right.
So if you take the time and get to know yourself and allow yourself to ask yourself these particular types of questions, you'll react to things differently. You'll look at things differently. It's going to hurt, and I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. Those are emotions. Allow that emotion to happen, but do not allow yourself to stay in it. It's an emotion. You're human. You're going to feel hurt. No one's telling you not to feel hurt. But don't let that hurt make your decision. Don't let that emotion make your decision. So learning yourself and holding yourself accountable for your choices is one of the things that you have to do. Another one of the powerful questions that I have in this book that I like to tell my clients a lot when they question themselves or question their own actions. One of the reasons that you should be knowing yourself and being in tune with yourself and loving yourself and being conscious of yourself is so you can ask yourself about an action that you're going to take. Are you standing in your power, or are you trying to please another? You have to know yourself and trust yourself to understand that. You have to know yourself and trust yourself to know when to set boundaries and know and be okay with saying, you know, that's not for me, and I'm okay with saying no to that.
Or by the same token, to say, yes, that is for me because I made this decision from my, like you called it, place of power, from your strength, your all of the knowledge and information you could gather. You made that decision and you went with it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's trusting yourself. When everybody else is telling you you're crazy, you're trusting yourself.
As I tell my kids, just because you're crazy doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong. So,
hey, everybody's definition of crazy is different, you know? Everybody's definition of crazy is different. And I don't even like to call people crazy. People are different. Different circumstances happen, and that's what makes people make different decisions. People are different. That's what I say a lot now. People are different. That's all. But what you ask yourself those questions so you're comfortable with yourself. You're comfortable with that decision and saying, you know what, you can think I'm crazy, but I'm okay because this is what I want to do.
Now, let's say you make the decision, you make the change, you make the choice, you know, and you follow your choice, and you fall flat on your face, because that happens. It happens to all of us. We haven't lived life if we haven't failed. What kinds of tools can women use to, or people in general, I imagine, use to help themselves move forward from that.
Go back and, again, forgive yourself for that. You, the biggest mistake is not even trying it. Guess what? Oh, now I know that way doesn't work. Try it another way. That's all that is. You have to look at it. I don't care what the situation is. There is something positive you can pull out of it. You have to learn how to change your thought process on things. You have to learn how to change your perspective. If every single day of your life something is bad, if every single day of your life something is going on, you got to take a step back and examine and say, you know what, is this the world against me, or is this just my perspective? If every day is a bad hair day, what's going on? If every day your coffee gets spilled in the car, are you leaving out the house 5 minutes on time? Did you have to break fast? Are you trying to put on your makeup? Those little simple things that will tick you off. If every single day there is something that ticks you off to the point where you are upset, you have to take a step back and look. Is it possible just to have these bad days just consistently? Yes, it's possible to have bad things happen, but for you to feel as if just everything is about is constantly doubting you, you have to change your perspective in that. And you have to take a step back and look at that and say, really, is the world against me? It's accountability. In any situation, it's accountability. You have to, accountability and looking at it and finding something, a lesson. There's a lesson in everything. There's a lesson in everything. Go down here and make that right. You know you can make that right turn at the dead end. So when you get to that next street the next day, I'm the type of person who's going to keep making that right 15 times until I realize, oh, dummy, that's a dead end. You know that. Go the other way. And that's okay. I know that about myself. I am that type of
right,
person.
Right.
So it's learning yourself and understanding that and looking for that positive. Hey, guess what? You know what? I made that turn every single day, but guess what? That saved me from that red light. That saved me from that train. That saved me from that accident. That saved me from whatever.
Yeah.
Find something positive. I don't care what it is you have to look for. Find something positive in it and retrain your thought process on that. I promise you your days will start getting better.
Now, you say retrain your thought process, and I'm going to, because when I was going through my divorce, I'd be up at 3 a.m. like clockwork, just worried, just stress going through my brain. Everything from how am I going to take care of these kids to how am I going to, you know, because I had been an expat wife and hadn't been working in the United States in some years. How am I going to get my career going again? All kinds of worry and stress. And finally, one day, 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I'm worrying and stressing, I mean, like crazy. And I finally said, you know what? Michelle, there's nothing you can do about this at 3 a.m. So you may as well go back to sleep. And I had to do that for several nights in a row. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like an overnight thing, but within a week or so, I was sleeping through the night. Good. And it was a terrible, contentious divorce. It was horrible. It was stressful. I wouldn't wish divorce on my worst enemy. But I was able to get my mind back into a place of being settled enough to get the rest I needed so that when I woke up, I could deal with what I had to deal with. And I am such a firm believer in that need to change the thought pattern. Because if I had just kept sitting there thinking and worrying all night, I'd been much more train wrecked than I was just going through that. Yes, exactly.
Yes. And please don't get me wrong, that is so much easier said than done.
Oh, yeah. It is
so much easier said than done. One of the things that I always say, I do not promise you rainbows and butterflies and flowers every day of your life. I promise you that if you have the right tools, when you get to those storms, it'll be easier to navigate.
Yeah.
Life is going to happen.
Yeah.
We can't predict it. We can't say that. We can't control other people's emotions. We can only control ourselves. We can control how we react to things. That's what we have control over. That's what controls your peace. You, how you react to things. You got it. You had that aha moment, like, you know what, this is doing nothing but losing sleep. And now I'm cranky and not getting functioning through the day, right, because I'm not sleeping. You had that moment where it was like, you know what, this is getting me, let me go to sleep. And I'm not going to sleep because I'm worried. And you not can't get nothing accomplished. And you worry ain't changing nothing. Let me go to sleep.
Right.
Brain stop. Let me go to sleep. And after a while, your brain listened. And it wasn't, it just became habit. It was okay. You retrained your brain like there's nothing we can do right now. Stop waking me up. I'm okay. We'll figure this out in the morning. And that's all.
And let me tell you something. I sleep well to this minute. It does help, folks. It does help. You really
yes.
want to work on that.
Yes, yes. You have to be clear. You have to give your, you have to respect your body. You have to understand that all of this is connected, all of it. Where all of this is connected emotionally, our diet, everything, all of it is connected. And once we understand that and accept that and start practicing that, it like I said, it's not rainbows every day and unicorns, but it gets better.
So I want to ask you, you mentioned about personal power, and I have speculated, you know, because I try to look at myself and figure out what is making me react in different ways. And I wonder, because African-American women oftentimes are called hard, difficult, combative, things of that nature. And I wonder, we can be a little assertive. I'm going to say that. We can be a little assertive, particularly when we get into certain kind of situations, you know, we get our backs up. And I wonder sometimes, is there any possibility, or what do you think of that possibility that maybe it's because at that moment we're feeling a little powerless, we're feeling like we don't have the strength or fortitude that we should have in that situation?
In those situations, I feel like we relinquish that power to that situation. We relinquish that power of deciding to let that situation take us out of that peaceful zone. That's what we don't. We don't not have it. We relinquish it to that situation. If you take a step back and look at I don't want to say in any situation, but in a lot of situations, if you take a step back and look at how you reacted to something, how would that outcome would have been different? Had you just said, you know what, this person is going through whatever, or this person, whatever the situation may be, or if it was someone getting angry at you, if it was someone that took an action towards you, you relinquished that power to them. Because you have the power to make that choice to say, I will not allow you to take me to this point. What is the outcome going to be? What is it going to get me? So it's not a matter of us not having it. It's in that we have it. We relinquish it to those situations. We allow those situations to take over for those moments.
So what would be a good tool to help folks in, a situation that's becoming challenging, becoming heated maybe, what would be a tool that they could use right at that moment to help them maybe make different decisions?
Taking that moment to understand, or taking that quick second to think about it, to just stop and think about it. Think, what is the outcome going to get? If it's something that's being done vindictively, if it's something that's violent, if it's something that's going to cause someone harm, is it something that is being done out of spite? What are you going to get out of the end of that? If you, and that's hard to do in the heat of a moment. That's hard to do in the heat of an argument. That's hard to do when your emotions are running high. But that's why you want to be at a spot where you have better control of your emotions so you can learn those triggers. If you learn those triggers, it's easier for you to not allow yourself to get into those situations.
It's a matter of learning yourself and what sets
exactly.
you off?
Exactly. It's learning yourself and learning that, you know what, learning what power you give to someone. If you know that that person can get you to a point where there is no point of no return, why keep giving that person that power? Remove that person from your space. You don't have to be rude. Remove that person from your space. It can be an amicable thing. Remove that person from your space. If you know that you can't make that person change and that person is going to continue to keep doing whatever it is to get you to that point of no return, you can't do anything to control that person. You can only control you. Why relinquish that power to that person to take you out of that peaceful zone?
Well, and you know, today's technology makes it so easy to keep certain folks from interfering with your peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I'm a big blocker. I believe in block. Oh, you like to call me and pick a fight? Block.
You have
block
to.
Block your email. Block your phone number.
Phone number, email. I don't have to see you. This is social media. I don't even see you in real life every day. I don't have to see you on Facebook every day. I don't need to know when your daughter starts school. Nope, I don't need to know when you go to school. I'm good. Take it off. That's another thing. Understand that if you get on Facebook and you know that you get on Facebook, get you heated, and you get to looking at pictures and get mad, stop getting on Facebook. Find something else to do with your time. If you know that you're going to get on Facebook and get mad and get off and get to sending all types of crazy text messages, why do you keep setting yourself up for that? You're allowing that situation to take away from your peace. You are allowing and relinquishing that power that you were born with. You're giving it away for free. It's costing you your health. It's not free. That's what it's doing. It's costing you your health. That's why your head hurting. That's why your feet swollen. That's why you can't fit those pants. That's why you keep having nosebleeds. You can think of any type of health problem that you are having right now, and I guarantee you it's because your internal system is out of balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And that ties directly to the mind. The mind-body connection is so real.
Mm-hmm.
It's so real. When we spoke before, I told you I used to know when it was time to leave a job, right? When I was younger in particular. It's just like, you know, you get to a certain point, you can only be so fulfilled, you can only go so far, you can only advance so much, and you're ready to make a change, but you're not willing to make the change because you're comfortable. You've got a decent paycheck, you're paying all your bills, you're taking care of your kids, you have your little weekends, you go out and do stuff, take vacation, and now all of a sudden there's a possibility that you need to just get up and go. And instead of doing it, it would manifest in first not hitting the snooze button, because I told you before, when we talked offline, I'm not a person who sleeps to the alarm typically. I don't like the sound of alarm clocks. I usually wake up before an alarm clock because I don't like the sound. when I have to start hitting the snooze button, something is wrong. It's time to make a change in my life. It's time to make a change. And if I ignore that, I get sick. I used to get strep throat when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get it over and over and over and over again when it was time to leave a job. And at some point, you kind of clue into what are the signs that my body is giving me that I'm not satisfied, that I'm not happy, that I need to make a change. And that's what I would encourage folks to do, is look at their pattern. I look for patterns in my behavior and my health and those things, and I think that that really does help you. So what kinds of patterns can people look for? What kinds of things can people look for?
Changes in their behavior, number one. One of the things that goes with that, and a lot of people understand it, and some people try to start it, and it's not something that's easy to keep up with, but start journaling. Start writing this down. I don't care if you write two sentences. I don't care if you write, I didn't know what to write today, so I'm just going to write this down. Start journaling. That is another key tool. Start journaling. Eventually, you're going to get to a point where you're just writing. And what I call them is at the end of the day or at the end of the week or whatever habit it is that you get into, you're going to start dumping. And what dumping is just sitting down with a notebook or your journal and just writing whatever is your brain is saying, just writing it all out. So that's another good tool, journaling. And some of the changes that you should be looking for is changes in your behavior. How are you feeling when you're going to work? What's going on? Is it, like you said, you notice that once you get to a point where you're not liking it anymore, you notice that you have to start hitting your snooze button. Are you having to drink more and more cups of coffee at work? Are you slacking on your lunch break longer, are you taking longer to come back from your lunch break? Is it getting harder for you to get? I was a customer service representative at AAA for a few months. And when I had first moved to Arizona, that was one of my goals, was to get into AAA to become a customer service rep. I just was like, oh, that's the key role. I need to get in there. That's a good company. Got in there, was in there for a couple of months, and just realized that this is just not for me. So every morning, I would be late at least 5 to 10 minutes because I sat in the parking lot crying. I just could not get, I hated it. I could not get out of the car. I hated going and feeling that whole, if you stop giving a doggone about what Bob's email said and you start having to backspace, no, you cannot say that. You are at a professional email. Backspace. No, you cannot say this scenario. When you get to that point and you start noticing that it's easier for you to do that, take a step back and look at some things and reevaluate some things. You people know, they just don't want to admit it. You know,
right.
you that fear, because you don't know what else is out there. What else are you going to do? How is your rent going to pay? How the mortgage going to get paid? So those regular life things start running through your brain. So then you feel stuck, and then it's just like, ugh. That's when your days get bad. That's when it's like, oh, my God, I need a vacation, you know? So you know those signs. You realize them, and they start off small. Yours is very minute. You got to wake up. You notice you got to wake up to your snooze button. It may take some people a minute to even recognize that. So if you start being more conscious of yourself and your actions, you have to be conscious of yourself. You have to. You have to know yourself and be able to realize changes in your regular daily habits. It becomes so monotonous. It's hard to recognize those changes.
Well, I'm going to stop right here for a second. I want to invite anyone who has a question for Janelle to call in we'll take your call if you have any questions or if you have any comments, anything you want to share with us. And I want to kind of take this to the personal side, because you mentioned, Janelle,
mm-hmm.
sitting in the car and crying for a few minutes before going into work. What about the personal side? I distinctly remember, as my marriage was deteriorating, sitting in the car and not wanting to go into the house.
Mm-hmm.
So these mm-hmm. things can happen on the personal side too, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Oh, yes. Why are you still there if that's a decision that you're trying to make? What's holding you there? Are you choosing yourself in that, or are you choosing that person?
And it's more convoluted with children involved, obviously, because then you worry about your children.
It is. And that still goes back to that same thing of, if you are unhappy, what energy are you giving your children? What facade are you giving your children? And by all means, please don't wreck any. I'm not a home wrecker. I'm not saying, hey, leave your husband, anything like that. None of that. But when people say that to me and they say, oh, but my kids, yada, yada, yada. Kids operate off of energy.
Yep.
They operate. Do you honestly think your child does not know that you're hurting? Do you honestly think that? Do you honestly think that your child doesn't know that something is wrong?
They are so astute. Children observe everything.
Exactly. I don't care if they're 3. I don't care if they're 13. I don't care if they're 23. Your child knows your energy. So.
And I am a firm believer that as the mother goes, so goes the household.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so.
So, Janelle, it looks like we have a caller. Caller, area code 408.
Hello, ladies.
You're talking with Janelle.
Hello, ladies. Hello, Michelle. Hello, Janelle. This is Beverly, and I want to just chime in on your conversation. It's very profound. You've touched on some points that I've personally experienced, so I wanted to chime in. I'm a firm believer, going to the foundation of the things that Janelle is speaking of, I want to say that the genesis of finding your strength is not only knowing yourself, but believing in yourself and having the faith to take action so that you are making those decisions and you're not finding yourself entrapped in the decisions or in the situations that are arising in your life that can pull you and take you there. Then I want to say also, I've been in the situation, one, I was raised in a family of entrepreneurs. So in terms of jobs, my sister always told me that I don't work for the job works for me. And so I grew up with mm-hmm. that being the mantra of my life. And so I was blessed to be able to be in the electronics industry, and with the skills that I was developing and the state-of-the-art companies that were constantly blooming in Silicon Valley, California, I was able to, you know, go from job to job to job and pick up different skills. I could quit this one and go to the next one. And, mm-hmm. You know, I would hide my pregnancy and get the job and boast on my skills and, you know, really excel in that industry. So much so that even now today, as they speak of war times possibly coming, they talk about the B-1 bomber. I used to build converters.
Wow.
The reason I keep pausing is because I'm hearing the show prompting us to an end, but it's okay to go into overtime. But I just want you to know why I keep pausing, because I'm hearing prompts in my ear that the show is winding down. But I just want to extend some time here to discuss. So, yes, in the electronics industry, acquiescing skills that could take me further, believing in myself, having that foundation of faith, and then being being in relationships where I know myself, I'm validated, never violated by father, stepfather, brothers, uncles, cousins, what have you. So any relationship that I'm in, if they're not speaking the language that I grew up with, being that, you know, I'm protected and not abused and provided for, and, you know, I'll even, you know, with my skills, you know, bring the meat to the table. And oftentimes it was me doing so, so much so mm-hmm. that jealousy and contention would set in. And I would have to say, okay, well, I'm only making so much amount, you know, hourly on my wage, because oftentimes I would make more than my significant other or spouse. So now let's fast forward to, no, the advice is not to tell a woman to divorce their spouse, but if you're standing in your own strength and you're validated and you know your worth, then you stand on your faith and you figure out
exactly
what it is that you're teaching your children. And I refuse to teach my children that marriage was anything like the verbal confrontations and, you know,
exactly,
things that I would be the one throwing the first punch if it was going to be anything, by the way, I'm sorry to say, because I'm raised by the boys of the hood, too. I forgot to throw in the boys of the hood, okay? So father, stepfather, brothers, cousins, uncles, and the boys of the hood, and you think I'm going to stand up here and listen to this? And I'm tall. I'm tall and strong. You got me twisted, brother. So, you know, I'm not going to allow that picture to reflect. Even for the children, I am not going to make my daughter or my sons believe that this is what a marriage looks like. So I'm not going to stay for the children. You're not going to hit on me. You're not going to talk to me any type of way. And journaling by far is one of the ways to release and get anything out. But you have to stand on faith and you have to make some cold, hard decisions in your life. And it won't be
mm-hmm.
easy. But if you know who's mm-hmm. been guiding you along all this time, then you know who will take you on to the rest of the way. And I say stand, step up and step out on faith. And any queen can do it, okay? You don't have to be anybody's footstool. And on that note, ladies, I want to thank you for the profound conversation, okay? But I just had to, you know, evoke my strength in it. You know, don't stay for the kids. Like Life Jennings say, don't do it for the kids. Do it for me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that's my penny.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is my penny,
well,
ladies.
And
thank you for allowing my voice on your platform, ladies. So have a wonderful, blessed rest of the evening and rest of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, and I think that we really need to hear that message, that our children really want us to be healthy and happy so that we can do for them. I mean, we can't do for our kids if we're not in a good place. And so they
mm-hmm.
recognize that as well. I remember at one point my oldest saying to me, you know, I was really glad when you and Dad separated.
Wow.
She was actually, because I think she recognized, I mean, she was only, I think, 5 at the time.
Wow.
And she recognized
mm-hmm.
that we were not happy together. And the
mm-hmm.
household wasn't a happy place. There was no more
mm-hmm.
dancing in the living room. There was no more of those things that she remembered from when she was littler. And
mm-hmm.
we think that children don't understand, but they really do. They understand so much about what's going on around them.
They do, and they're learning. And what we're teaching them when we stay like that is that it's okay. And we would be shocked if they were to come to us and their life is doing that, and we're saying, well, why did you do that? And, well, you showed me. We're going to look like the confused puppy look like, huh? No, but that's what you showed me. So that's what you have to think about that. You want to show them a healthy relationship. If you know that it's unhealthy, you staying just for their sake, you're teaching them that whatever that bad thing is you're teaching them that it's okay. You're teaching them that it's okay to stay in unhappiness. And that starts that whole cycle of them not being confident in themselves and faithful and having that faith in themselves and understanding themselves and being able and okay with the decision to say, I am not happy, so I am going to leave because it's not conducive for me.
Yep.
Going against,
yep.
Staying is teaching them against that.
Well, and that goes for dating as well, right? I think, it goes for boys and girls. So,
yes.
I remember
that
at one point I was. You don't want to teach your boys how they should treat women,
mm-hmm.
by the way you allow certain men to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember at one point I was dating this guy, and, you know, I think that sometimes men try to train you to entertain their crazy, and that's fine. But this particular form of crazy didn't match up with my form of crazy, so I said, you know, we can't do this. I'm not going to entertain this crazy because it doesn't match with mine. You have to find somebody who's crazy meshes well with yours.
You
right?
are so right.
And,
I love that.
I mean, everybody's crazy, but it's a matter of does that crazy match up nicely with yours? His did not.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
He was shocked and surprised when I told him, no, you need to go on and go because this is not how we do things around here. And I had to explain to him later, I said, I can't let my girls see me being disrespected, and I can't let my son think that that's appropriate to disrespect a woman in her home. So I cannot allow you to do this because that's not,
definitely.
I'm not trying to teach them that.
Definitely.
I was not taught that. I don't intend to teach them that. So
exactly.
we have to keep that in mind, not just for our girls, but also for our boys.
Those are men. Those are men that we raise in. Whether there's a man in the house or not, those are men.
Exactly.
And they're going to mimic
exactly.
the actions that they see. They're going to mimic those actions that they see. And truth be told, that DNA is going to work its way in there too. Lord have mercy, that DNA is strong.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
They don't even have to be in their presence, but that DNA is strong.
Yes.
So that's
yes,
going to work in
is.
There too.
Yes,
but
it is.
Yeah, it's definitely, you don't want them to see and think that that's what you're supposed to do. Well, that's what mom lets. So that's how it's supposed to be done. No. And then you have it. And then even if you're in that situation now, even if this is something that's going on now, never discredit your children. And that's where people, I parent so differently than a lot of people, but I talk very openly, very, very openly to my children. But I talk to them and explain to them, hey, this is what was going on. This is not healthy. This is not what's supposed to be. This is not what a relationship. Talk to them. Explain to them.
Right.
I'm not saying go into the full detail, but talk to your children. You would be amazed at what that does as far as them being understanding. As far children are so resilient, they will bounce back. They will bounce back. And it's staying in a bad thing or staying somewhere, not even if it's bad, it doesn't even necessarily have to be bad. Staying in something where you're not happy is so much more damaging than anything else because it's continuing a cycle.
Right. Well, and children do well with truth in my opinion. I mean, you have to, you know, tell them whether or not you inhaled. But when you talk with your kids, and there are ways to talk with them from when they're little to when they're teenagers and even young adults. I think that it really does help to be as honest as you can with them within boundaries of propriety because, first of all, children can smell a lie. I'm not sure why they are so good at
yes.
it, but children can smell it. They can smell a lie. They know when you're lying to them. And
because that natural raw instinct, they don't have the influences
yeah.
of the world to suppress it.
Yeah, they have not been taught yet, especially when they're little. They can smell a fake come in a mile away, And so, and especially you as a parent, because they know you. They knew you, you know, especially the mother. I mean, they were inside you, man. They know you.
Exactly.
So I believe that it's better to share honestly, obviously not oversharing, but share honestly with your kids because, first of all, it teaches them that they can trust you.
Exactly.
And if they can trust you, that encourages them to be trustworthy so that when they're coming into difficult situations, they can come to you and say, I can trust you to talk with you about this. And then that can help them maybe avoid situations. So I think that the parenting style really, I lean toward a more open parenting style as well. And I think that that's a really good thing to have that communication. And it's harder because each kid's personality is different. So it might be a little harder with my son sometimes because, you know, sometimes he'll just clam up. But, and you know, it just depends on their personalities, but I think it's really important.
Exactly.
And what you share with your kids, when you're sharing with them, do you find that it makes them feel more at ease to know what's going on?
Yes. I have two boys. I have a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I, like I said, I was in a relationship with someone with a drug addiction for 8 years. This was about, I'll say 6 years ago, but this is was a pertinent time in my children's life where we lived with this person day in and day out for 8 years. So that's not, that didn't only have an effect on me. So I had to talk to my children so my children could trust me. I had to talk to my children so my children could know that I would never let anything happen to them. I had to be open and as honest as I could as far as age-wise is concerned and being respectful of the fact that they are children. I had to because of situations that I've put my children in. So the whole open thing is in it. It's just how I chose to parent because my whole thing is I have three other siblings. I'm the oldest. You would consider me the bad black sheep. I don't want to say black sheep of the family. I march to the beat of my own drum. I'll say that.
I've
probably given my parents the grades that are on their head. They've had plenty of pillow talk about Jeanette, about their oldest daughter. But my sister and my two other brothers, we were all raised in the same household. We all ate the same food. We have the same parents. We all have the same everything. Neither one of us were neglected. We all went to the same school. We all got cars at the same time. There was no favoritism, no weirdness going on in our household. But we are totally different people.
Yeah.
Totally different. I took a totally different path than all of my siblings. You know, children are different. But me realizing and recognizing that in myself and my own siblings, that's what helps me parent with my children. All I can do is talk to you and tell you these things and try to give you as much advice and pray and hope that you ingest these things and live by them and experience some things, but listen to the lessons it is that I'm trying to tell you. I want you to go through some things, but I want you to listen to the lessons that I'm trying to tell you as well. So some things can be avoided. But I'm extremely open to my children, extremely open. Myself, me and my sister parent totally different. She has calendars and things. I never had those things.
she has what?
Calendars. She keeps up with calendars and dates. I walked into her house and was like, you have a calendar with, like, dental appointments and PTA meetings. And I said, you're
oh,
a
yeah.
mom. Why do you do those things?
Okay, just so you know, I am a calendar freak. If it doesn't make it in my calendar, it doesn't exist. So my kids, if they want me to know about it, it's got to go in my calendar. They've been using computers since they were very little. You have an iPhone. Put it in the phone and send it to me. Otherwise, I don't know about it.
That's what it's, if it's not on her calendar, it's not life. It's not happening.
It doesn't exist. Yeah.
And
I don't know how you expect me to know anything.
A couple of weeks ago, and I don't even know if she found it yet, but a couple of weeks ago we were talking, and she told me she lost her main address, her main calendar book, her main keep-up-to-do book. She lost it, and she has been going crazy because she could not find it. I said, Lord, I know some dental appointments probably sitting out there somewhere, some dance lessons
yep.
or something. Yeah. No. I was not that type of parent. Like, I was late to the recitals. I was late to the assemblies. I was that parent that parents probably look like this girl.
Okay.
But you know what, though, Michelle?
Stuff.
Right. But you know what, though, Michelle? My children will come and tell me any and everything. I know
yeah.
what's going on with my children. I know
good.
What's going on in their lives. I know when something is bothering them. I know that even my children will tell you in a heartbeat, she is going to go bananas when you first tell her if it's something bad. Give her a little bit and she's going to come and talk to you. Give her a little bit.
I tell them all the time. I don't promise I'm not going to get mad. I don't promise I'm not going to get mad. But you need to talk to me before I have to talk to other folk.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Talk, yeah.
Exactly.
I feel you. So
exactly.
I would say this. So
exactly.
tell your sister, embrace technology, and then she won't ever lose another calendar. That's the first thing.
let me tell you what's bad, Michelle. Let me tell you what's bad. She does. It's on her phone, too. It's digital.
No.
And on paper, but she's more comfortable with the paper. She likes to write it. She needs it in her hand. Solid right there. She needs to write it and know it. No, I know it's in the phone, but I need it in this. She knows digital everything.
That's
all
funny.
Of it. All of it.
That's
but
funny.
That one is a lifeline. And it's like, with that one gone, oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I feel her. I feel her pain. Let her know that I'm bleeding inside for her right now because I feel her pain. So, wow. Wow. Look, we're actually over our time, and I hate taking extra time out of people's day. I am so grateful to you for spending so much time talking with our audience and sharing all of this good information. And
you're more than welcome.
I just want to know, well, what do you have going on that you want our listeners to know about?
People can always check out my web, www.justchooseyou.com. That is where you can get in touch with me. Email me, Janelle@justchooseyou.com. I have a couple of sessions listed up there if you want a couple of live coaching sessions. Your guest last week, Beverly Holloway, is also my business partner for Choosing Inspiration, which will also be a radio show that is airing on Blog Talk Radio as well. And we'll be airing on the third Wednesdays of the month. And I don't have the dates, and I forgot about that, but those will be posted.
Okay, cool.
On the website as well. But they can definitely check out Choosing Inspiration on Facebook. My information is www.justchooseyou.com or Janelle@justchooseyou.com. I'm at Just Choose You on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm out there. I'm casual conversations. If you want to talk about some things, give me a call, 314-722-5262.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, guys, I want you to definitely check Janelle's site, and it's Just, J-U-S-T, Choose, C-H-O-O-S-E, you spelled out, right? Y-O-U?
Yes, Y-O-U.
.com.
Yes.
And Janelle is J-N-E-L, at justchooseyou.com. And
yes.
Choosing Inspiration on Facebook, and that show is airing the third Wednesday. Wait, when is the third Wednesday of this month is going to be, and I can pull it.
Yeah, it's August 23rd.
Is that going to be the
20th? So tune in for that one, because that's my birthday show.
Happy birthday to you. Awesome.
Thank you.
So we'll
see you
on the 23rd. The 23rd, Choosing Inspiration.
Yes, that's
awesome.
Inspiration. And that first show is going to be about the very first thing that I talked about, giving yourself permission.
Giving yourself permission, and that is super important. The first step to anything, giving yourself permission to forgive yourself. First step to change. Changing bad patterns and negative patterns. Janelle, thank you so much for joining me on Somewhere in the Middle with Michelle Berard. That's our show
thank
this week,
you
guys.
So
you can Thank you. Hey, you guys can reach me online at urbanbookeditor.com or on Facebook and Instagram at urbanbookeditor. Send me a note. I like to hear from people. And I do. I actually respond on Messenger. Sometimes it takes me a minute. I am on Pacific time now, guys. If you're on the East Coast, just know there's a three-hour time difference, and sometimes that can impact things. But I'd love to hear from you. So send in some topics you'd like us to cover on the show. I would love to know what you guys want to hear about. Again, I want to give a big, big shout-out to Beverly Black, Tribe Family Channel, and all the members of the Tribe Family Channel. It is a positive joy to be a part of it. So you guys, be good, stay mindful, remain prayerful, and I will see you again on Tribe Family Channel on Friday, August 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, and 5 p.m. Pacific, and my guest will be Doralyn Laporte, spiritual counselor. Make sure you guys tune in, and you can get all of her knowledge and wisdom. Peace and blessings, y'all. Have a great night.